I'm going to ask you not to open up your pew Bibles today, because I'm going to read the story from the Gospel of Luke 24. I'm going to read it out of a translation called The Message. So just use your ears. That same day, two of them were walking to the village of Emmaus, about 7 miles out of Jerusalem. They were deep in conversation, going over all the things that had happened. And in the middle of their talk and questions, Jesus came up and walked alongside them. And they were not able to recognize who he was. He asked, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" Well, they just stood there, long-faced, like they had lost their best friend. Then one of them, whose name was Cleophas, said, "You are the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard what's happened in these last few days." And he said, "What has happened?" And those disciples said, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene. He was a man of God, a prophet, dynamic in word and deed and work, blessed by both by God and all the people. Then our high priest and our leaders betrayed him and got him sentenced to death and crucified him. And we had our hopes that he would be the one about to deliver Israel. And it is now the third day since it happened. But some of our women have completely confused us. Early just this morning, they went to the tomb and they could not find his body. They came back with a story that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of our friends went off to the tomb to check and found it was empty, just as the woman said, but we didn't see Jesus." Then he said to them, "So thick-headed, so slow-hearted, why can't you simply believe all the prophets said? Don't you see that these things had to happen, that the Messiah had to suffer and only then enter into his glory?" Then he started at the beginning with a book of Moses and went through all the prophets, pointing out everything in the scriptures that referred to him. They came to the edge of the village where they were headed, and he acted as if he was going on, but they pressed him, "Stay and have supper with us. It's nearly evening. The day is done." And so they went in with him, and here is what happened. He sat down at the table with them, and taking the bread, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. At that moment, open-eyed, wide-eyed, they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. Back and forth they talked. "Didn't we feel on fire as he conversed with us on the road, as he opened up the scriptures for us?" The word of God in scripture, the word of God among us, the word of God within us. We're going to present the Bible story in a little bit different way today. You're going to hear it retold by some readers. There's going to be a point during the service where you're going to go up and get kind of a reminder, a way to make your prayer real. So today you're going to have to really use your ears and listen with your eyes so that you might hear God's word for you this morning.
We had not been expecting him, and yet we had. We were frightened because he had been killed and they might be looking for us. Then, when some of the women said that they had seen him, we were more frightened than ever. We had denied him, abandoned him, watched him die at a distance, and kept quiet about our previous association. What would he do with us now? We sat huddled in an upstairs room, locked away from the world, afraid of them, afraid of him. sitting silently with the shades down. But he came and unlocked every door with his unexpected words, "Peace, peace be with you. I am sending you out."
There were two of us walking together, walking away from it all, walking and talking. No, more than talking, arguing and almost falling out. We agreed on what happened. We knew what had happened. We were there. But what did it mean? The kind of revolution we wanted was not what we were given. And if he had set Israel free, why was he not around to proclaim its liberation? So it was good to have the company of a stranger who was as interested in current affairs as ourselves. It was good to have somebody make sense of our confusion and draw together the loose threads that we had forgotten. Though it wasn't until we sat down to share a meal that our confusion really ended, when his feeding of us began.
For a week, I heard the same story from each of them, and the more often I heard it, the less I believed it. We had all been through a lot. We were in a mess. The unthinkable had happened, and we were lost, guilty, and grieving. I thought that maybe the death hadn't sunk in. I thought they were refusing to come to terms with it, pretending that it hadn't happened. His hands had touched us. His breath had blessed us. But now they were cold and he was gone, and all that was left was a memory. Yet in all my doubt, I envied them until doubt vanished and faith grew again when a well-known voice said, "Put your hand here."
We don't see much of him now. Though we've met several times, he's touched us and talked with us and even cooked breakfast for us on an open fire. He said as much that he's going to be gone soon, though we don't know how and when, and we won't know until it happens. And though we don't want it that way, we know that he has to go, so that his work can be finished and ours begin. The stories you heard today are stories of life after Easter. It's an interesting question that I get asked fairly often by church members and other friends that know me. How are you surviving after Easter? Or won't the next week just be a letdown after Easter? Or what do you preach on an Easter sermon? Well, the truth is, we preach an Easter sermon every Sunday. And that's why it's kind of hard for pastors, because how do you hit one out of the ballpark and into the water by the kayaks when we preach that same story every Sunday and believe it every Sunday? You see, the people of God, early Christians, used to be called people of the resurrection. That's what the early church was called, people of the resurrection. And somehow when you just call us Christians, sometimes it feels like we forget that we're not just Christ people, we're people of the risen Christ. And I love it because Skyla kind of got it today when she said, "Oh, it's not Easter anymore." And we kind of feel like that, but it is. Easter every day, and that's why we keep the lilies up for a couple weeks, and we keep the banners out to remind us again and again that we are a people that believe the power of God on that one day is for every day. And one of the reasons I love this Road to Emmaus story is because the disciples are, as Peterson calls them, thick and slow. I mean, they've heard everything. They've heard all the reports, and they're walking on that road, and they're depressed, and they don't believe anything. They don't know what to do. I suspect they're going back to their old jobs and their old way of life. And yet they're going in the opposite direction of where God wants them to go. They are kind to a stranger. The stranger that asks, like, has anything happened lately? Really? Are you the only one who hasn't heard? And they begin to tell him the story. And I suspect as they tell the story, some of that hope and expectation, I think, must have started coming back just a little bit. And they didn't just stop with hearing and telling, they learned along the way. They heard the stories, and then when he should have gone further on, they invited him in for a meal. I love that. Their hearts were broken. They didn't know what to do, and they were still hospitable. Don't you love that? I don't know what's going on, but I'm sure that I'm going to feed you and keep you safe. And in that moment of welcome and hospitality, that's when it says their eyes were open. In that moment, they kind of figured, oh, that was Jesus. And then he disappears. Just a taste, just a little bit. What I love about those disciples, it's kind of us. Those disciples are fearful and they're confused and they're scared, and yet God's going to be with them. God doesn't say, okay, because you don't have a memory, because you can't remember longer than 3 days, out of here. God, through Christ, says, I am still going to use you, and I will take you as you are, and you will be my Easter people, the people of the resurrection. And that's our hope today, that we believe that God will take us as we are, and that we will be Christ in the world. He's gone away, so our work will begin. For some people, actions speak louder than words. And so today we give you an opportunity for prayer. As you see, there's three stations around the sanctuary, and they represent the stories that I've reflected on and you've heard from them. At one station, there's a key for those that are afraid. There's bread over here for those that are confused. And over there, there's a nail for those that have doubts. So you're going to hear a prayer. And then after communion or before communion or during communion, you're going to go to the station and you're going to read the prayer and you're going to pray for yourself or for someone else, and then you're going to take that item and put it away in your pocket, because we are going to meet Jesus in all areas of our life, in all places where there is fear and confusion and doubt. Christ will still be there. So I invite you to come up during communion and come and give what you are. Give your doubt, give your confusion, give your fear, and if you don't have someone, offer it for someone else. And take a reminder that you can hold, put in your pocket, your purse, even eat one of them, to remind yourself that we are an Easter people and God promises to be with us.
Lord Jesus, here are your disciples and those we represent who need to meet you in the midst of fear. Travel the distance we have traveled from you. Dispel our anxieties about ourselves, about our past, our faith and open from the outside the hearts we unlock to you from within. Amen.
Lord Jesus, here are your disciples and those we represent who need to meet you in the midst of confusion. Help us to identify your voice beneath and above all other voices we hear. Convince to us that there is calm at the heart of the storm, and feed our faith on the certainty of your presence and all of your promises. Amen.
Lord Jesus, here are your disciples and those we represent who need to meet you in our doubt. Help us to hold graciously those questions to which there are no easy answers. Enable us to discern the inability to believe which comes from our unwillingness to obey. And in the pain and scarring of this world, help us to identify your hands wounded among us. Amen.
Lord Jesus, glorious and resurrected, and willing the best for us, and daring us to smile with you, as we walk behind you, give us hopefulness, give us toughness, give us your peace. Amen and amen.